Joining us today is Penny Meadows, director of LBJ&C Head Start. We'll be talking about the vital work Head Start is doing to support early childhood education, strengthen families, and build brighter futures for children across our communities. Thanks for coming out on this rainy day.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy.
Yeah, we appreciate it. So LBJ&C, so I had to do my research because I know
everybody gets confused.
I know what it is, but I didn't know how it originated or how it came to be. So I definitely want to ask you a few questions about that. But let's start with you.
Okay.
Who you are, how you got to where you are today, sitting in the chair across from me. Director, you're the director of the program.
Yes.
Correct. So how do you get to be the director of an LBJ&C program?
Well, you know, it just kind of tells you the basis of LBJ&C and what Head Start means, because Head Start is all about the children and the families. Well, I had a child that went to Head Start, and they had to talk me into going to Head Start, letting him go to Head Start. And I said, I'm not staying home for somebody else to take care of my child. That's why I'm here. And so they said, well, come with him.
Okay.
So he went. I would go with him. I would stay. I volunteered there. I was a Head Start parent. I became on the Head Start Policy Council, which is the decision makers of the program. It's made of parents from all 12 counties that we serve, as well as some community representatives. And so I became a part of that. And from there, they asked me to be a sub. And my very first job with LBJ&C 34 years ago was a cook custodian in a Head Start center in Crawford, Tennessee. It was a one-classroom Head Start center out in the country. And it just kind of went from there. And then I worked in the center for about 5 years doing different things. And then I moved to the central office, and that was, gosh, so long ago. And eventually I became program manager, and I was the program manager for 23, 24 years. And then I have been the Head Start director for 6, now going on 7. And so that's kind of how it developed. So I pretty much have done any job at any time in some form or fashion. And so I think that just helped me with the knowledge. But I also have a true belief, because not only did Head Start allow me to be a part, they also encouraged me to go back and get my education. So they were like the people that were standing behind me, besides my family, that I first got my associate degree in early childhood education, and then I finished up at Tennessee Tech and ended up with education and a business degree from Tennessee Tech.
So did you always think that you would be in the education world?
Not at all. It was totally not in my plan. My plan, I always thought I would be in the medical field.
Okay.
I worked in the medical field before I had my son and my daughter, and I had to quit work because I couldn't afford to pay childcare for 2. I also had some personal things going on. And so that kind of led me to being able to go to Head Start. And I guess if it's in your blood and it's in you for education, and, you know, if you think about healthcare and education, they do kind of run together.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Head Start is it's not just education. It's about the health of the children, because we do health screenings. The children have 13 different health screenings that they do. We feed the children. So they have breakfast, lunch, and snack every day. They, you know, we form family partnerships with our parents. So we help the parents set goals for their family, because you cannot affect change if you don't affect the whole family. You know, you can educate a child all day long, but if you can't help create some change for the family, then, you know, the family, you know, that's where the changes occur. And a lot of times people look at Head Start as a low-income program. But it's not just low income. You know, we accept up to 35% of our children can be people that fall in the 101 to 130 category of over income. And the Congress sets the income guidelines, not us. And then they also can, you know, we can take over 10% of over income. So we do have children of all levels, and we try to meet each child individually where they are. We have a requirement that we serve a minimum of 10% of children with disabilities. We had 13.6% children last year, and we have 20 centers in 12 counties.
Wow.
And so we have 880 3- and 4-year-old children in our Head Start centers. Mm-hmm. And
that's a lot of little people.
Yes. And all of our teachers have a minimum of an associate degree, but many have bachelor's degrees. We have 60-something percent of our teachers have bachelor's degrees. And then we even have a few that have their master's degree because we believe in education. You know, all of our teacher assistants are required to get their child a development associate credential. So, you know, that as well as, so, and our family engagement have a social service competency-based training credential. So we believe in these credentials, this education, because we want to get the children ready for school, and that's what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
And if a child is hungry, if they're not healthy, if they have some kind of anything in their, maybe a behavior. Behaviors are brutal anymore in all aspects of school systems, even when you get into the 3- and 4-year-olds. And, you know, and we have everything lined up in a plan, and we have a system, and we work that system. And it's we do a tiers program with our mental health, mm-hmm. and with our behaviors. And it's been being very successful, and we collaborate with, like, even the public school system, the pre-Ks, and they're actually using some of our system that we're using because we're all trying to help each other, because mm-hmm. everybody that has anything to do with education, their priority is for the children to be the best educated, the most successful person that they can be in life.
Sure. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of things there I want to unpack and follow along.
I probably
along.
Didn't even answer all your questions.
No. It's a great starting point, because there are so many aspects to early childhood education,
mm-hmm.
really,
yes.
in general, if we broaden it out a little bit, and the impact that all of the Head Start, daycare, pre-K, all of those programs have such an impact,
yes.
on success in school. I mean, there's a direct correlation, I believe. In those that attend and are well taken care of and move on into school systems, just to have those opportunities is a huge deal. Let's circle back with you for just a second, because you mentioned that you were in the medical field, working mm-hmm. in more medical field, and got pulled into education. And as an education person, I'm always trying to figure out and get into the mind of people who end up in education, because mm-hmm. we need more teachers today.
Right.
I mean, that's just kind of a given. So early on, did you have a teacher? Was there someone who influenced you that you is just very memorable and mm-hmm. may have either out loud or maybe just down the road got you into education?
Her name is Linda Reed. She may hear this on the radio because she's a retired teacher now. But she actually was, when I was in school, I was in a split class. So I was in a class when I was in kindergarten. It was half kindergarten, half first grade. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. I went to kindergarten, Indiana. First grade and second grade. So I was in that split class with her in first grade and again in second grade. So I had her for two years, and she had such an impact because she could just sit down, and I just could never get enough of what she said. And even whenever I decided that I was going to go back to college, she was one of the people I talked to and told her. And I even wrote about her when I was in college and when I was working on my associate degree and some of those writing creative writing classes and everything, about the impact that she had on me that made me always know that I wanted to teach something, that I wanted to be a part of that. I loved learning. And, you know, I always had a knack for education. And you either struggle in something, and you're either strong in math or you're strong in English, typically. English was more my thing. I did okay with math. And, you know, I didn't really have any problems. But educate, you know, the reading part and all of that aspect. And if you learn to love reading when you're young, it will go with you your whole life. And no matter what topic, what subject, what life lane you go down, that's always going to be a factor. And so she just instilled that in me very early, and it just kind of just kept going from there. So I'm not surprised with the education. I feel like, you know, you talk about healthcare. I feel like a commonality between healthcare and education is its service. And, you know, I have given my life as service, and anything I can do to help someone else, whether or not that it is, you know, in the health lane or education lane or anywhere you do, but, you know, Head Start is about service. And if I can help somebody the way that Head Start helped me, then, you know, that's what I want.
Well, let's take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about LBJNC. Welcome back to Local Matters, talking with Ms. Penny Meadows, director of LBJNC Head Start. So let's start with, I had to look up the letters. I had made up in my mind all sorts of different things about what LBJNC stood for, including Lyndon B. Johnson.
But I didn't know what the C was.
Yeah, so what is LBJNC, first of all, and then how did it get started?
Okay. So LBJNC stands for Livingston, Byrdstown, Jamestown, and Cookeville. They were the first four county seats whenever it began. People in our communities, mostly from Putnam, Overton, you know, those four counties, went to Washington, D.C. when the war on poverty was started. And they applied to become a Head Start program. And so we actually began in 1965, the same time that it was implemented. Now, there is a story behind LBJNC. So Lyndon Baines Johnson was the president. The very first executive director was Cliff Ingram. And so he would go around and joke and say, "Well, you know that stands for Lyndon Baines Johnson and Cliff." And so that was how, and a lot of people thought that that was what it really was. And still today, a lot of people do. So I guess it's sort of like a spin on the lettering and the words, but it actually was the first four county seats. And, you know, just to say about that, LBJNC Head Start was actually recognized in this year in February, because we were one of the very first Head Starts ever implemented and are one of the very few that are still here today. So LBJNC has actually been operating for over 65 years. Or 60 years, sorry. Started in 65,
wow.
60 years. So we have been celebrating all year long that we are still here 60 years later.
How do you think that, why, what is the reason that it's that you all have been able to hang on that long? Because you're right, so many Head Starts, daycares, preschools, private schools come and go over time.
I really think it's attention to quality and always trying to do what we're supposed to do. You know, a lot of people don't realize Head Start is a federal grant. So every year there's all kinds of paperwork. And then, you know, the federal government is always coming and looking at us. But we are not just looked at by the federal government. Head Start is licensed by the Tennessee Department of Human Services. So we also have to follow the state daycare licensing. And so we have those rules, and they're in our centers all the time. We have fire marshals that come in twice a year, once or twice a year. It just depends, usually once. We have environmentalists that come in, and they check our kitchens because we cook on site. We cook from scratch, and our foods are not a lot of prepackaged stuff. You know, we do have some things to try to make it a little easier for our cooks. It's changed since I was a cook. We used to cut the chicken up and crack the eggs and peel the potatoes.
Wow.
And they don't have to do quite as much as that, but we do large quantities. So you can imagine you have to meet all those regulations. You know, so we have all these regulations, and I would tell you that in this past year, you know, they do a QRIS, quality rating something scale, the state does, but it basically tells you how you do. And we have, as I said, 20 centers, and the lowest score that we had was a 197. We had between 97 and 100 on our scores. And I would tell you, for our environmentalists, we hit right up there. We pop a lot of 98s, 99s, 1. We are very much about quality. And I think that in itself has always helped us. We have agency audits and retirement audits every year. We have not had an audit finding in over 25 years. And the one we had probably way back then was very minor. And so I feel like quality has everything. And the only way you do quality is you insist on it. You require it. And you don't settle for less. And I think that that's what these children and these families deserve. And so you've got to hold up to the quality.
Mm-hmm. Have to keep that. And it can be challenging.
Very.
I know, just, you know, as a parent of school-age children, all those moving parts coming together and leaving time to educate the child, you know, it adds a lot of layers of difficulty.
Yes, and LBJNC is a nonprofit.
Mm.
So what that means is there is no profit there. Every year we have this budget, and every year at the end of the year we have to come to zero.
Mm.
And our fiscal year is May 1 to April 30th. So by April 30th, you know, we have to have all the money spent, and then we have to have the grant from the next year to move on. The way our grant works is we're on a five-year grant cycle. It used to be an indefinite, and they changed it in 2016. But now it's like a five-year grant cycle, and I think we're on year three this year of our grant cycle, year two or year three.
So any concerns with the federal
always
shutdown and the federal changes?
Well, one thing is fortunate is that we do have a May 1 grant year. So that means our notice of award had already came down, and our money is already allotted all the way through April 30th. So that has took a lot of stress off of us, but you always have to worry every time you ask for that money, because the government does have systems in place to protect certain things. However, I do know other programs that have a November 1 start date, and they have not got their funding yet. As of this time, all Head Starts have been running and operating. There are some that were in the October, November one that are actually trying to operate, and that's not our program, but that are trying to operate with local funding to try to keep the doors open, you know, because it's so important for the children and the family. The children need that continuity of care. And the families do too, because they're working or trying to go to school or doing both or maybe multiple jobs, and they're trying to make it work. Now, one thing that concerns me is Head Start is flat funded. And what that means is that there's no additional money. So the only time that our program gets, like our staff get raises, is when there's a cost of living given by the federal government.
Okay.
And it's whatever they choose it to be, usually fairly minor.
Right.
There was no cost of living this past year. We are flat funded, no additional money. However, we were fortunate enough that we went for a supplemental grant, And so we did get $568,000 for playgrounds.
Okay.
So we are working on that right now and getting the final things, you know, to lay down to do that. So we did get that additional money, but it is only specified for the playgrounds. And that's such an expensive thing, you might not think about it, but one play structure is well over $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And but it has to conform to all those standards. Remember I talked mm-hmm. about quality. Well, you don't put junk down for the mm-hmm. children. You know, we believe the children believe they deserve the best facility, the best structures, the best supplies, you know, because we want them to expect quality for themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. I actually talked to a former principal who's now working at Recreational Concepts,
mm-hmm.
Which does a lot of playgrounds for the local areas. And it was interesting to hear her talk about, from their side, you know, the way that they design and they've been working on several special needs playgrounds. And,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, that's a whole industry of itself that is very expensive. We've reached the end of time on this segment, but let's take a short break. And we'll come back and chat a little bit more about LBJNC. Welcome back. Talking to Penny Meadows, director of LBJNC, which we did figure out, Livingston, Byrdstown, Jamestown, and Cookeville. See, I got that part right just now. So I did learn something, at least. I was paying attention. So with your organization, we were kind of talking about some of the day-to-day operations. I know that you mentioned another grant that you'd applied for playground equipment. So how do you work with other organizations? I know there are a lot of ties. I know UCHRA does a lot, UCDD, so many government organizations. I imagine that you work with mayors, and what does that look like in your world?
Oh, we have so many collaborations and partnerships. Probably one of our main one is we actually have a partnership with every LEA in each county, which is your local education agency. And so we have a really good rapport with them. When a child becomes three, then they become, if they need speech or some other kind of IEP or some, you know, special services, then that's where we collaborate with the school system and they work with us. So in all of our locations, except for one, the speech teacher from the school system comes and sees the children. The school is just across the road, and so the parents do take that. That's in Byrdstown, you know, but it's just like across the road. So it's but we have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with all the school systems. We have partnerships with one great one I want to really talk about and talk up. Is I don't know if you know Jennifer Mabry, and she has several grants at that she works through with Tennessee Tech, and Dr. Barbara Reynolds is the funder of that, and our partnership actually allows her to come in, and she goes to our Head Start centers, and she will do like lead screenings and physicals and different kind of screenings, and they actually were just recognized by the state of Tennessee and got a big award, and it's probably going to be in the newspapers mm-hmm. and everything about that partnership and how it's helping the children to get the things that they need, because a lot of providers have quit taking TEN care mm-hmm. and so a lot of our families, that's what they have. And we have all these health services that are done. So that grant that is funded by Dr. Barbara Reynolds actually helps to get these children the health services that they would not normally be capable of. Hmm. And so that is like just one of our favorite partnerships that we have now. We have partnerships with UCDD, you know, UCHRA, Heart program. We have partnerships with all the homeless liaisons in the counties. Pretty much any social service agency. October is Head Start Awareness Month.
Okay.
That is also the month that we have had open houses. Our open houses finished yesterday, South Cookeville on Willow was the last one. And if you look at our Facebook page, and you can see all the different agencies and resources that we share with, if any family out there, it doesn't matter who or any other agency, we have a massive community resource by county on our website at lbjc.org. And you can go into each location. It has like a crisis list, so if there's any crisis situation. But we have a comprehensive of any kind of services. And, you know, right now with the government shutdown and the state of Tennessee not going to help cover people's SNAP benefits for November, Melanie Pryor, my parent family engagement specialist, has been working with all the different family engagement in the centers and compiling different nutritional resources that are going to be available so that no family goes hungry and so that people can be able to have the food that they need. Mm-hmm. So we have so many partnerships, mm-hmm. I probably couldn't even begin to say. I'm talking about, we keep things in notebooks, and there's probably 8 or 10 notebook full of partnerships. And if there's agencies out there that want to partner with Head Start, all they have to do is reach out to us, because we want to help the families, they want to help the families, and we look together and see what we can do to collaborate together.
Does that ever feel, it sounds overwhelming to me.
It's big.
To manage all those things under this, because the umbrella, it sounds small, Head Start. It sounds like you're taking
LBJ
children.
Well, LBJ&C actually has 2 programs under its umbrella.
Okay.
Because it's LBJ&C Development Corporation, and we have the Head Start program, which is largest, but we also have the foster grandparent program. That is under our umbrella, that has its own director. And so to be on the foster grandparent, you have to be in a certain financial range, and you have to be 55 or over. And you can go in, and they partner them with children. Most of the foster grandparents are in our Head Start centers throughout the county. But they also have some at the Child Development Lab at Tennessee Tech. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if there's any other they do at this point in time, but they partner this foster grandparent with a Head Start child that might need those extra needs and that extra attention. And they go into the classroom and they work one. They may work with all the children, but they work specifically one-on-one with that child. And then we look at how that develops. And there have been many, because they form an actual, almost a grandparent relationship with them. So it has been very rewarding for us. And so we did have retired senior volunteer program, and they were defunded this year.
Okay.
And so they lost their funding September 30th. But thankfully, foster grandparent did get theirs back.
Okay. Yeah, I saw when I was researching the RSVP mm-hmm. program, which I had not heard of. I didn't know that
it's a very different program. It's called Retired Senior Volunteer Program. What that program did is we had 2 people that worked under the director under that, and the counties that they were in, because neither one of those are in all 12 counties. And I would not want to quote the wrong ones to you.
Sure.
I think I know, but I wouldn't want to make a mistake. But they would call people that were homebound or whatever, that didn't have nobody. So it was like a companionship thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that program worked. But they did do away with most of the retired senior volunteer program in the state.
Okay, so you just transitioned to something similar, but a different program.
Well, we already had the foster grandparent program as well.
Okay.
It just, that one went away. I think that one had been there since like 1972 or something.
Oh, wow. Okay, so just
so
different.
Some longevity programs.
Sure, and just something else, and that's to me is so many things, and I was unaware. I mean, your operation sounds like UCDD or UCHRA, just in the volume of different things that you do.
Yeah, and when it began, a lot of the programs that are with UCHRA now used to be LBJ&C, and over time, they got shifted somehow. I wasn't there then, so I can't really speak to it. If you look, we have this massive scrapbook And when I say massive, it's like a 20 by 24 scrapbook that has old newspaper clippings from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You ever want to come over to Chocolate Drive, I would be glad to share some of those. It has some, the whole entire history of LBJNC, even Wordsworth Cliff Ingram wrote the story about it. And mm-hmm. if you look on our website, I do have the history on there. I've been trying to update it. I'm a little behind, but I'm pretty caught up. I'm in COVID world right now at the update.
Yeah.
And COVID took a lot of time away, the extra things we had to do during that time,
mm-hmm.
that I let that slip a little. So I'm trying to catch back up.
Sure. Well, historically, having those services in the community, mm-hmm. weaving in and out of the history of the community for so many years, I mean, I'm sure it's been so impactful. And then to hear that things have grown out of the operation and you know, are on their own now or with a different organization, there's a lot to be said there. So looking forward, in our last couple minutes here, looking forward in general, what do you think, where do you think that child care Head Start, just early childhood, not child care in general, is going? I mean, there's talks of, you know, universal child care and universal pre-K and all these different things. Where do you see it heading? Or hope that it's heading? Maybe I'll frame it that way.
Well, if you look at any kind of child care that's out there now, so, you know, I was around when pre-K came along, and I was actually a little bit of a part of it. And, you know, Angela Conte, is that her name? She was the governor's wife. She was really big in education, and I can remember them coming and talking to us at a Head Start conference in Nashville, and they were wanting to develop a program like Head Start so that all children could be served. And so that was the springing out of the pre-K, volunteer pre-K. And so when it started, it was a Head Start has these children, and they're going to do everybody else, and that's kind of how it started. And then it kind of became where everybody's just trying to serve the children there because, you know, there are so many child care deserts out there and people mm-hmm. need service. And so I feel like it's going to continue. We work closely, you know, with the volunteer pre-K. You know, we're not their competition. We just all want to make sure the children get what they need. LBJNC did apply for early childhood, early Head Start, which would be birth to three, because it is so massively needed. We lost out at the very last minute last year, and it went to Memphis.
All right. A lot of good information. I appreciate you coming out.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.